Welcome to Eastern Sierra Now. It is Jesse Steele, and it is also Monday, March 28th. How about Will Smith at the Oscars, huh? Oh my gosh, that's been a rabbit hole today. Everybody's attacking that from all sides. It's like, whoa. I mean, it's not local news, and I don't care all that much. I really like Will Smith, and I really like Chris Rock, so it's like, yeah. But fact is, joke was inappropriate, yes, but his job is to tell inappropriate jokes. So I have to say, sorry, Big Willie, you're at fault there. That was bad, and you deserve everything that comes with that. You should have held yourself a little bit better, bro. I'm all for standing up for your wife and everything, but, you know, you go talk to Chris Rock behind the stage. You meet him after the show. You deal with it like that. You don't walk up on stage in front of millions and millions of people and slap him. Come on. You know, that was my personal thought on it is Will's probably breaking down a little bit. And just he's had a lot of controversy in the last couple of years, and we won't even get into it. Family stuff and all that, it's none of our business. But I think he's probably hitting a low point, and I wish him the best because I've been a big Will Smith fan my whole life. And so this took a lot of respect away from me for that. That's true. But at the same time, everybody makes bad decisions. Everybody does stupid crap. So we got to give him that, but it's been interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens with all of this. I think Chris Rock held himself like a professional and just kept on rolling. You know, it could have been real easy just to, you know, drag down, throw down, go for it. And I'm glad that didn't happen. But at the same time, if that was you or me at a club, we would have been drug out and arrested. So good double standard there, Hollywood. Thanks for that. Let's get on to some real news. So, what do we got here? So this is actually really interesting. So I got this over the weekend. We posted it. We put it on Instagram. It's been out there for a little bit, so I'm sure you guys have seen it. But, CHP in Bridgeport saved a kidnapped victim on 395. That's pretty great. Here's the article. This morning, approximately 6:30, a Bridgeport CHP officer, and this was on March 26th, by the way, so that would have been Saturday. This morning, approximately 6:30, Bridgeport CHP supervisor was traveling north, US 395, at the conclusion of his shift when he noticed a vehicle stuck on the side of the right shoulder just south of State Route 108. As the patrol vehicle approached the shoulder, a young woman came running toward the supervisor and jumped inside his patrol car. The woman was shaking. She could not speak and followed by an adult male. The sergeant asked the woman if she felt safe and she shook her head no. The adult male was detained and separated from the woman. A CHP officer and one of the Mono County Sheriff's finest promptly arrived and conducted a thorough investigation determining the young woman had allegedly been kidnapped and violently attacked on the shoulder of the road. The alleged suspect was arrested and booked into Mono County Jail for kidnapping, felony domestic violence, terrorist threats and assault likely to produce great bodily injury. The young woman was taken to an undisclosed place of safety and a local advocacy group responded to assist in her care. Bridgeport area felony investigation personnel responded to the scene and the investigation into the alleged crimes continues. CHP Bridgeport appreciates the assistance of the Mono County Sheriff's deputy who responded as well as the local advocacy group who came to the victim's aid. Well, good on you guys. That's some heroic stuff, and I'm glad that girl's safe. That's pretty crazy right there. Like, there's a picture. You can see it at Eastern Sierra now. There's some prescription pill bottles lying all around the car and maybe some booze. I can't really see, but it doesn't look good. The inside of the car is thrashed, too, so, you know, who knows what that means, but that poor girl. So, good thing she was safe, and good job to all of you out in Bridgeport. You know, I usually tend to do that's at the end of the podcast, but you know what? Today, I really want to thank our patrons. You guys are fantastic, and we are so very lucky to have you on board, helping support local news and keeping local news and entertainment alive, not to mention pushing new technologies. I think that's one thing that I'm very proud of that we're trying to accomplish here. So thank you, guys. And gals, Allison, Sam, Fran, Tiffany, Tomatohead, D, Ida, Deborah, Valerie, and Margaret. Thank you so much for helping out. And and just getting involved. And if any of you are interested in helping out with sponsoring local news here, you just go to patreon.com/EasternSierraNow or at EasternSierraNow.com. There is a button for Patreon. If you click that, they'll give you multiple tiers that it might be the one you want. Could be $20, could be $5, you know, it could be $50 million. I don't know what you want to donate towards local news, but every single cent helps us keep moving forward with this endeavor. So thank you all so much for helping in that. You know, really helps and has from day one. It was my very first client, and I hope will be my very last, you know, when I'm old and gray, and that is Copper Top Barbecue. There's not, I say enough about them, but there's not enough to be said. Tomorrow, hopefully, I will have an article about them, actually, because Matt put on his first Frisbee disc golf tournament this weekend, and it went really well. We got some good pictures, and we'll have a story posted at Eastern Sierra Now. But aside from that, Copper Top is just a fantastic place to eat. Every time I go there, it used to think, well, this is going to be a treat because it's a little expensive. Now, if you go to McDonald's, it costs more than it does to go to Copper Top Barbecue and get a tri-tip sandwich, a side of macaroni, and a soda, which is what I get every single time. Say what you will about me. So the fact is, it's cheaper, and you get 20% off if you put in your discount Local20. So 20% off, better food for you, created right there. This isn't a microwave kind of situation, and you have fun people working there. You have a great time. It's such a cool environment. You can order it from your phone as you're online, as you're driving there, and it's ready to go when you show up. I mean, I couldn't say enough about Copper Top. They are a fantastic organization, and you all need to go eat there every day. If you haven't, head out there, but at least go once a week. That seems fair to me, right? Copper Top Barbecue. It's coppertopbarbecue.com. Go check it out. You guys, you won't be let down. The Eastern Sierra Land Trust has a pollinator garden workshop. What does that even mean? Let's read this. Did you know that gardening with native plants can save you money and water? It's true. Native plants found in the Eastern Sierra are often drought tolerant and require less maintenance than lawns or high water use plants. Native plants also attract pollinators like birds and butterflies that are essential for wildflowers and production of productive gardens. You can learn how to design a native plant garden at Eastern Sierra Land Trust's free Deep Roots Pollinator Garden Workshop from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. April 9th. Local experts will present on topics like gardening for wildlife, fire-safe landscaping, and how to garden with native plants. For a speaker list and event details, please visit eslt.org/events. It's also listed at Eastern Sierra Now. Space is limited, so please make sure to RSVP to Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, at eslt.org. Thank you so much to our partner organizations, they say. This would not have been possible without the UC Master Gardeners of Inyo and Mono County, the UC Master Food Preservers of Inyo and Mono County, and the California Native Plant Society Bristlecone Chapter. This workshop is part of ESLT's Eastside Pollinator Garden Project, which has helped 147 Eastside gardeners create pollinator-friendly yards since the program began in 2014. Through our certified garden program, ESLT provides support and expert advice for your garden. As part of the program, you may be eligible for a voucher for native plant purchases. That's cool. So again, visit eslt.org/pollinator-gardens to learn more. And that link is at easternsierranow.com. And when you get there, actually, I had my cousin Cindy. Hey, cousin Cindy, how's it going? Tell all your friends that I said hi on here, too, by the way. If you go to EasternSierraNow.com, on the right-hand side, there is a blue link. It says follow, and there's multiple social media icons. Each of those link to one of our social media accounts that you can follow. If you would do that, you would just be, speaking of pollinators, the bee's knees, I thank you. And right below that, it says email address. If you just type your email in there and hit subscribe, you're going to receive emails updating you whenever new news happens in the area. So that's the easiest way to follow Eastern Sierra Now by far. And then subscribe to the podcast that you're on right now. So those are the things that we need to continue moving forward. And thank you so much for doing that. A couple cool little bits of information out of the Mammoth Yosemite Airport today. That's a lot of reading. For the first time, summer air travel to the Eastern Sierra is accessible via the Bay Area in Mammoth Lakes, California. Today, Mammoth Lakes Tourism and Mammoth Mountain announced new summer air service with United Airlines in the Eastern Sierra Regional Airport in Bishop, California. Beginning June 4th and running through September 5th, this is the first time summer air travel has been offered to California's premier mountain destination via San Francisco International Airport, making the Mammoth Lakes region more accessible than ever. Kicking off on June 4th, 2022, flight services between the Eastern Sierra Regional Airport, that's the Bishop Airport, heck yeah, and San Francisco SFO will operate on Saturdays and Sundays through June 19th. Flights will then be offered daily, except on Saturdays from June 24th through September 5th. Launching a commercial air service to the Eastern Sierra Regional Airport in Bishop this winter successfully created a reliable and convenient option for visitors and locals looking to travel to and from Mammoth Lakes and the Eastern Sierra, said John Erdy, executive director for the Mammoth Lakes Tourism. This region is truly a four-season destination, and the summer flights will showcase one of our most beautiful times of the year. United looks forward to continuing our service between San Francisco and Bishop, California, which began last December and gives customers access to Mammoth Lakes, said Lori Augustine, vice president of San Francisco for United. Extending this service will give our customers convenient access to the beautiful summer in Mammoth Lakes, which will draw not just Bay Area visitors, but travelers from the 65 U.S. destinations that United will serve from SFO this summer. Shuttle and rental car services from Bishop to Mammoth Lakes are available. Drive time from Bishop to Mammoth Lakes is about 45 minutes, and with free and regular bus service throughout the Mammoth Lakes area, it's easy to get around town without a car. Located 45 minutes from Yosemite National Park, the YARTS shuttle service provides reliable and comfortable transportation into Yosemite, with five different pickup drop-off locations throughout Mammoth Lakes. Continuing air service through the summer months is thanks to the strong partnerships between Inyo County, the town of Mammoth Lakes Tourism, Mammoth Mountain Ski Area, Federal Aviation Administration, and Caltrans Division of Aeronautics. Flights are booking now at united.com. You can also check visitmammoth.com and mammothmountain.com for more information on a Mammoth Lakes vacation. Hopefully we'll get something together here in the near future on Eastern Sierra Now where you can link to click on those things and find out about flights and stuff. But that's super exciting news. I love that there is an airport in Bishop. I hope that they can get a summer destination down south as well. That would be great because then we're kind of covered for all of California wherever you need to go in that time. I know that it was LA and Denver and San Francisco before, and so now it's just San Francisco. But hey, the fact that there's even the chance to fly to somewhere that's going to be international is fantastic. I mean, let's say you want to go to London this summer. Well, you fly over to San Francisco and you take off from there, so that's pretty sweet. There is more. See, I got confused at the beginning of that article. I thought I was reading the one about Mammoth Yosemite, but that was the Bishop one. There is Mammoth Yosemite news as well. And as soon as the internet goes a little bit faster, I will read it for you. Here we go. Mammoth Lakes and Hawthorne, California. Mammoth Lakes Tourism and Los Angeles-based public charter airline Advanced Airlines announced today that they will expand their partnership by offering four weekly summer flights from Southern California cities Hawthorne, that's the Hawthorne Municipal Airport, and Carlsbad, that's the McClellan Palomar Airport, direct into Mammoth Yosemite Airport. The new schedule begins June 16th and will run through September 12th. Following a successful winter season exclusively serving Mammoth Lakes, Advanced Airlines will provide semi-private flights every Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and Monday via a 30-passenger Dornier 328 jet. Passengers can enjoy the convenience of a private air travel experience at commercial airline cost, with benefits such as private terminals, and skipping TSA lines. Advanced Airlines is the only airline to offer Southern California direct flight straight to Mammoth Airport. Summer in the Eastern Sierra is truly magical, and with the addition of Advanced Airlines summer service to Mammoth Yosemite Airport, it's easier than ever to get here to enjoy it, said Mammoth Lakes Tourism Executive Director John Erdy. Summer is one of the best times of the year to enjoy everything that the majestic town of Mammoth Lakes has to offer, said Levi Stockton, the founder and president of Advanced Airlines. We're pleased to continue partnering with Mammoth Lakes Tourism to create an accessible and premium way for Southern Californians to get to one of their favorite summer destinations. So, for more information on those flights, just go to mammothlakestourism.com, I believe. You can go to advancedairlines.com or call 800-393-7035. Book by May 30th and complete travel by September 12th, and you'll save 20% off with the code EARLYBIRD20. So that's worth it. 20% off the whole ticket anyway. So yeah, so it's visitmammoth.com is where you're going to want to go to check that out for local information. So that is awesome. I love that we can fly out. It's something as silly as that. You know, if you grew up in Los Angeles, it's like, big deal. But for us that grew up here, you can fly anywhere. You're not flying. Now all of a sudden you can. That's a big deal. I mean, I feel like I should be playing a banjo when I say that, but at the same time, it's true. Okay, so three more things here. Where are we at? 17 minutes? I'll read these ones quick. So this is really cool. As many know, April is Autism Awareness Month. Currently, 1 out of 54 children have autism and fall somewhere on the spectrum. In honor of those children with autism and the heroic parents that care provides and educators who work with these children every day, the Bishop Police Department will be wearing shoulder patches to show support and awareness to those with autism and those affected by it. In addition, the Bishop Police Officers Association will have patches for sale at the department for $10 per patch. All proceeds from the sales of the patches will be donated locally to assist with programs designed for those with special needs. The idea was brought to me by the POA. As a department, we want to do our part to bring awareness and show support for our special needs community members. And that was from Chief Rich Standridge. So good job, Boys in Blue. I think that is very cool to show support for everybody with autism, not just children. But it is such a cool event. So thank you for doing that. And I would like to touch base here on Bishop Bronco softball. So they played the Huskies, and the Bishop came away with the W is what I was trying to say. Final score, Bishop 22, Mammoth Huskies 8. Pitching was Geneva Molina, pitching 2 innings with 4 Ks, 2 walks, and 0 runs. Leilani Torres pitched 3 innings with 6 Ks, 3 walks, 1 hit batter, 3 hits, and 8 runs. Offensively, Kayla Jackson, 3 walks, 1 hit by pitch, 3 runs scored. Maddie Torres, 1 walk, 1 hit by pitch. There's a lot of hit by pitch going on right now. There's Will Smith in it. 3 runs scored. Jada Jackson, 1 hit, 1 walk, RBI, 2 RBIs, 2 runs scored. Lindsey Rowan, 1 walk, 1 run. Bailey Momberg, 3 walks, runs scored. Deb Falling Star, excuse me, 1 hit, 2 RBIs. Rose Bracken, 1 walk. Leilani Torres, 2 hits with a triple, 2 walks, 3 RBIs. Sienna Fuller, 1 walk, 1 hit by pitch. There's another one. 2 runs scored. Geneva Molina, 1 hit, 1 walk, 1 RBI. And Crystal Morales, 1 run scored. Good job, ladies, on that. Keep up the good work. I'd like to point out too, like to the Mammoth Huskies and everybody else, just send me your information. It's all it needs. I would love to post your sports stats, but I'm only getting stuff from Bishop at this point. So, you know, I reach out every time I can, but I am very, very busy running everything. So I would love to get your sports stuff, but I can't get out there and reach out to every single one of you every single time. I do not have the time. So please, I would love to get your sports scores out there for these kids, because that's why they're doing this. I'll take pictures, I'll take videos, anything you want, you can send to me and I will post it for you. You just need to make the effort to post it to me. So make that happen. It's info@easternsierranow.com. I would love to help you out. Okay, so our last thing we want to go over today, it's going to make us run a little bit long, but that's okay. This is really interesting, is we have an interview with Mammoth Lakes Repertory Theater director Shira Dubrovner. So Shira is putting on a play called The Women right now, and it's very poignant and very to the time, even though it is from 1936. Apparently, there is 16 local actresses that are participating in this, playing 34 roles. So this is a huge production. Apparently, it's very hilarious. I've heard nothing but great things from everybody that's come from this play. I have yet to see it. They opened last week and they've gone through the weekend. So let's, without further ado, let's bring in Shira Dubrovner. Okay, we are here with Shira Dubrovner, who is the director of the new play, The Women in Mammoth Lakes, and it has already gone for one weekend, and I've heard nothing but great reviews about it. So, Shira, how's it going?
Good, good. We had a great opening weekend, and people seem to be loving it. It's a fun, funny show, and it's a spectacle. We've got a lot of beautiful costumes, beautiful women, and people are really enjoying themselves.
That's cool. What is it about? I actually know nothing about this play at all, and I did that on purpose because I wanted to ask you what was going on. So what is The Women about? Where's it set? What's kind of the overall, you know, idea?
So The Women was a play that was written in 1939 and then made into a movie. Actually, the movie was made in 1939. The play was written in 1936. And it has since then become a classic. It's a play with only women in it. Of course, they're talking about men. It's about society women in New York who are all catty and talking about each other and about their husbands cheating on each other and how the gossip just takes over the whole society of females at that time. And it also is a major commentary on how women were treated at that time, how like women couldn't get credit on their own. Women really couldn't get a credit card in their own name until 1974, and how, you know, women's wages, you know, couldn't make them independent, and we're still making less than our male counterparts today. So it still is timely, even though it's set in the 1930s, which is now almost 100 years ago. But it, you know, it's a period piece, so all the women in it look beautiful. We've got 16 women playing 32 parts. About three quarters of them are playing one part, and then the last 25% have multiple roles. And it's a really fun. There's a big old cat fight in Reno, and back then women had to go to Reno to get a quick divorce. And there's a great scene in Reno with a fabulous cat fight in it. And for those people who saw the original movie, which had been remade two or three times after that, but the one from the 30s has the famous actresses like Joan Crawford and Norma Shearer and Rosalind Russell were starring in it, and all these famous, beautiful actors, actresses from that time. It was a tour de force at that time for the movie, and subsequently people have been doing this show, you know, for the last 85 years. So
God, isn't it sad that today it's still a poignant topic?
Yes, I mean, that's really. And I think that's why I wanted to do it. Not only do we have, there's more female actors in town than male actors, and we always have that problem with finding male actors. And I thought it was a great opportunity to really have a show that is an ensemble piece and be able to let all the women actresses in town shine. And we have actresses from Bishop and from Mammoth and Crawley Lake and Mono City, and it's a great cast.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you probably had to call every single actress we have, right?
Yes, that is correct.
16, that's a lot.
Yeah, so we started it 2 years ago, and originally it was cast with other people, and we all thought that the same original cast was going to still be in town, and now 2 years later after COVID, some of the people have moved out of town, and then, you know, some people couldn't make the timing work because it's the same time around the Easter vacation and their family's going away, so I had to recast about 10, which is 2/3 of the parts, 10 actors. And but we still made it work, and everyone's so great. It's interesting working on an all-female cast. There's really no drama. And I sometimes think it's, you know, bringing men into the mix might, you know, make more competition. I'm not sure. It's just a really great cast with a great set of women that are all getting along and all very supportive. And there's definitely a sisterhood happening.
Well, it's because we're the drama queens, the men, I mean.
men are the divas. I think they do create
it. Yeah, that's right. I had forgot. So The Women, you guys, you were about to go to, like, stage with it, right? Like, you were ready to go, and then COVID happened.
Yes, it was 2 weeks before opening, and the state got shut down, and so we actually are 2 years to the week of when we were going to open 2 years ago. So it's kind of ironic that we're able to still open. We are requiring people to wear masks. We're not requiring people to show proof of ID, but we are asking people to wear masks. And the reason for that is, first of all, many theaters in the country are still requiring masks and proof of vaccination, because if you don't, we don't have understudies. And if anybody gets sick, not only with COVID, with any kind of cold, we have to shut down the play and we lose thousands of dollars. And so we are asking the audiences to keep wearing their masks during the show. And you're sitting next to a stranger and for 2 hours, it's not like you're just walking by them at the grocery store. So that is why I think most theaters in America are continuing with, you know, wearing masks. So if people aren't comfortable with that, we ask that they don't come. But, you know, we would love to see them. And if they can wear a mask during the show, that would be really helpful, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's not about infringing on people's freedoms and all the other fights that you hear about. This is about your health, because you don't have the option to get sick. And that's perfectly a reasonable thing to ask of everybody, I think. And so,
thank you.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. What I was going to ask you, so how do you get tickets? Where do you find out more information about it? And you have a pop-up venue now, right? It's not in the Edison Theater.
No. So the Edison Theater shut down during COVID, and I still wanted to continue doing theater when, you know, the mandate started opening up. And so I created this pop-up venue. There was an empty storefront where the Blue and the Good Life restaurant is. It's a 4,200 square foot office space. And so we kind of partitioned it off and built some risers for the seating, and a stage and a backstage area. There's a dressing room. And it is a temporary venue because we could not get permits and things like that. So we can only do a certain amount of activities there. But we will be finishing this weekend. We run Thursday through Sunday this coming weekend. We close on the 3rd. It's at 7 p.m. every night, Monday through Thursday. And the address is 126 Old Mammoth Road. And it's unit number 101. It's that corner unit. And they can go to mammothlakesrep.org for more information or to buy tickets. And hopefully we'll have auditions for the Shakespeare Festival there. We're doing two shows, Measure for Measure and Twelfth Night. And Measure for Measure is going to be set in the turn of the 20th century in Gay Paris, during kind of like the Moulin Rouge inspired time. Cool. And then I'm going to be directing, that'll be directed by Allison Page, and then Allison McDonald Page, and then I will be directing Twelfth Night. And a lot of companies have been performing that in the pure Renaissance way, where in the Shakespeare times, all men played all the female roles and all the roles. Well, I'm going to have the men playing the female roles in drag, and then I'm going to have the women playing the male roles in drag, and all in Shakespearean time. So yeah, that'll be a fun little twist too.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Yeah, so nice. Those auditions will be at the Annex. It's called the MLRT Annex. And we'll also probably, I'll do one more show there, and we've got the film festival coming up. We've got a lot of things happening, so people have to keep in touch with us.
Oh, good. It sounds like art and culture and theater is very much alive in Mammoth Lakes, and that's great.
Yes, it's coming back.
All right, perfect. Well, Shira, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll get the word out there, and hopefully we can get some people up there to check out this play, because it sounds like a winner.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, Shira, thank you so much for that. And yeah, all you guys head out there and check that out. Hey, culture's back, baby. It's taken so long for us to get into something like this. So get out and check it out. Definitely, even if it's not your thing, go check it out. It's worth bringing back theater. You know what I mean? And as she mentioned, we got Shakespeare coming up. We've got some other stuff happening. The film festival is going to happen pretty quick. I mean, this is all really good stuff. So thank you. We're moving past the COVID lockdowns and quarantines and imprisonment. Okay, we're going to call it for the day. I'm going to go back to watching Will Smith videos, and we will talk to you tomorrow. This has been Eastern Sierra Now, and I'm Jesse Steele.